Welcome to Taz Turf Talk, your radio guide to thoroughbred racing this week in Tasmania.
And a very good morning, everybody. Welcome along to the program. No thoroughbred racing today as such. We are, of course, racing on Hobart Cup Day, Melbourne Cup Day in Hobart, as each and every state has 1,000 meetings, it seems. Everybody wants to race Melbourne Cup Day. As I say, good morning, Greg Mansfield.
Good morning, Colin. Yeah, everyone does want to race Melbourne Cup Day, and the good news for Tassie is that Radio TAB will be covering our meeting, and of course we can bet off course. There was a little bit of a fear there at one stage that we might not be able to do either of those things, but that's all been put in place by Tas Racing and Tats Bet, so that's great news.
Yeah, no Sky coverage of this meeting. It's a seven-event card. I tell you what, having just done the form in the last day or so, it's not a bad meeting.
Oh, it's a good meeting. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it at all. It's well in keeping with what we've had at recent Wednesday nights.
And, of course, speaking of Wednesday nights, we'll have a quick look back at what happened at the 8-event program in Launceston last Wednesday night. And, of course, that racing continues this Wednesday night. Those fields will be out tomorrow. How was Derby Day for you, Greg?
It was good. I actually liked the Derby winner. I was sitting there watching television on Friday night, and I heard them talking about preferment, so I clicked onto the internet and had a look at his run at Geelong, and I think it had "back me" written all over it. So that was a good... Lucky I was watching telly at the time.
Yeah, I think a few people found the Derby winner. Sign-off, of course, raced his way into the Melbourne Cup. He was a huge tip and started a very profound favourite and is now second pick in the Cup.
Yeah, the bookies reacted rather savagely to that, didn't they, to shorten his odds. I think you'll get much better price about him on Tuesday when the markets settle themselves down, but it was a good run. He's got no weight.
Yeah, I think they may have been committed at longer odds, and now that he's made the field, that's why he's such a solid second favourite.
That often happens, but by the same token, come Cup Day, the market always finds the right place. They tend to drift back out again, so I wouldn't be jumping in.
No, there's a wealth of money, that's for sure and certain. Millions of dollars in the pools, and you always seem to get good odds about whatever you might fancy. And speaking of which, what are you tipping in the Cup?
Well, I don't know half the field, which makes it difficult, doesn't it, when you see all those imported horses, but I'd just go for the three that I've been watching. Admire Racti again, Faulkner, and Lucia Valentina.
Yeah, they are the form horses going into the Cup. Admire Racti was just so very, very dominant and impressive in the Caulfield Cup, and he comes off a fourth in the Japan Cup. You think he's got the form line on the board? I think he's entitled to be favourite for the race.
Well, he's a class horse, and I know sometimes we overlook the Caulfield Cup winner when we're doing the Melbourne Cup form, but if you just put it in the boat, if he'd run on strongly and run second, beaten narrowly, you'd think, well, he's a certainty in the Melbourne Cup on that run, and he'd be a very short price. But because he's won, he's got a very minor penalty, that's not going to affect it at all. I think we're probably getting a better price than what we're entitled to.
Well, they could absorb that half-kilo penalty in the allowance for the weight for the best.
Well, they do, don't they? And 58.5, it's not much weight for a class horse when you consider what the good horses of the past have carried when the minimum has been much, much lower.
That's right. I think that's something that people overlook when they talk about it's been such a long time since a horse with this sort of weight has won a Melbourne Cup, but it's a far more compressed weight scale these days.
It is, and they do overlook it a lot, and they, you know, wipe it off as just being ancient history, but my favourite Melbourne Cup winner of all time was Rain Lover, and he carried about 60.5 kilos on I think there's about a 46 minimum that he won it for the second time, so 58.5 is nothing.
No, with what, a 52 minimum?
Well, I think 51 sign-off, but most of them have got 52 or more.
All right, let's get into having a look at this meeting in Hobart on Melbourne Cup Day. As mentioned, no Sky coverage, but radio coverage right here on Radio TAB. Early start, early finish, pardon me, with the first coming up at 11.05.
Yeah, tough race. I wouldn't be rushing into this one. Same old horses go around most of the time in these 2,100-metre Class 1 plates. Even though he was 50-1 when he won last time, umpire number 3, and you don't like tipping 50-1 winners at their next start because they're nowhere near that price, but he was just dominant. I watched the replay a couple of times again yesterday, and he had plenty on them. He won by a couple of lengths, goes up 2 kilos, but look, in a tough race, I'll tip him again. 4 Lacey As, I think, is the best horse in the race, but she's unknown at 2,100, and she just didn't quite get to the line as strong as I would have liked last time over 1,600, even though it was a pretty handy run when she finished third. The jury's out on the distance, but I think she might be the best horse. 5 Sonetto took off early in that 2,100-metre race won by umpire, hit the front about the 800. Was still bobbing with 100 to go, but got a little bit tired. Will strip fitter, and Decent Deal is always around the money. You've got to put him in somewhere, but don't like tipping it much, but I've gone 3 again from 4, 5 and 1.
I'll go with number four, as you say, on trial at the trip, but the best horse in the race for sure and certain, Lacey. Yeah, she's only won once from 14, but she's placed five times. A lightly raced five-year-old mare trained by Di Ray Luttrell. David Perez, who is, just the most informed jockey at present down here in Tasmania, picks up the ride here, and I think Lacey Yaz can win. I've gone with four to beat one decent deal. He just keeps whacking away in these sorts of races. We'll be thereabouts at the end again. It's only 1-1. 12 placings from 32 runs. The other chances, Awana boxed on well in that race, won by umpire and umpire himself. So 4-1-8-3 in the first of the day for me. Race number two on the card, and this is a maiden played over 1,100.
You've tipped David Perez to win the first. I've actually tipped him to win four of the next six. So if we're right, he's in for a very good day. I like Coles Hero here, number five, because it's an on-pace runner. It was a good effort last time out when second to Just Call Me Fred. Raced in the first three or four all the way. The Brunton and Keys horses trained at 7 Mile Beach are always very fit. They race on the pace and they're hard to get past. So I've got him on top, number five, just ahead of a horse that we've highlighted to follow from the last meeting, Century Duty, number three. Very good fifth to Galileo Cerdo last time out. The worry is that if he gets back as far as he did last time, the bird might have flown, but it was only his first start on that occasion, so he might be able to race a bit closer this time. He looks the danger. Number eight, Miss Shay Shay. That was a very nice run when second to Galileo Cerda. Looked under pressure at the 200 and then rallied again late to go down by a narrow margin. And number two, Michaela's Raider, comes out of that same race. Finished a very close third, so it can't be knocked. But I think on the pace, hard to catch number five, Coles Hero. I went 5, 3, 8, and 2.
Look, I've gone exactly the same way, and I think it's probably a good thing Coles Hero's second up will strip a bit fitter than that first up run when it started favourite and ran second to Just Call Me Fred in Launceston. Exactly the same numbers for mine, 5, 3, 8, and 2 in race two, Hobart on Tuesday. Third event coming up is at 12:22. We've already got a scratching here in Young Robin. It's a maiden over 1,400.
I think David Perez has given us a good lead here, and he's riding number one, Rest Upon, for Royston Carr. Of course, he is the number one stable jockey for the Brunton team, and they've got Ashalar in this race, which I thought's got a chance. So that the fact that David's on the toppy sways me its way. I thought its run last time out was pretty good. It ran second to Fringer. It was no match for the winner, but race one out and one back and ground home. Beat the others comfortably. I think it's got its foot on the two, number one. We have mentioned it a few times in the last couple of months as a horse that wasn't far off winning a race, and this might be it. Number three, Wanganu, ran in that same race and finished third, box-seated third fence. I thought on that run, Rest Upon had to beat it, but it might take a bit more of improvement out of it, you never know. Number five, Ashalar, as I said, one of the Brunton stable, six to Galileo Cerda last time out over the shorter trip and was doing its best work late, got within a length of the winner on the line, so it suggests that 1,400 metres will suit him. And at number six, GG Supreme, very consistent. This is a three-year-old from the Johnny Luttrell stable, has been placed three of six and run fourth a couple of times as well. Steps up to 1,400 for the first time, so that's a slight query, but he's racing well. I went for the one ahead of three, five and six.
Yeah, number one, I agree with you. David Perez has certainly given us a lead by picking up this ride on Rest Upon. When he could have ridden Ashalar, you would have expected. So one to win from five for me. Number nine is a roughie. I think he's got a bit of a chance here in Princess Bombora. Its past couple of runs haven't been too bad. Adrian Duggan's taken over the training of this one, and I think it's one at odds to watch in this race. One to beat 5, 9, and 3 in the third of the day. We go to race four on the program, and not a bad race. This one, a benchmark 60. 62 over 1,200.
I was about to say the same thing. Good little field for this class, and I've got a tip, a horse that we've been talking about a lot over the last 6 or 8 months, in number seven, Gigi's Golden Girl. She was a very promising two-year-old. She's been placed behind Calavera, Admiral, those sort of horses in the very good races. Ran fourth in the size produce at a second last run before a spell, and then finally came out and broke her maiden status on a heavy track. If she's anywhere near her best, she might be just too good for them. She's a very nice horse, number seven. Three, Fairly French, a horse we highlighted from the Launceston meeting on the 15th of October. He came from last to finish midfield behind Piece of Work. It was a bit of an eye-catching run. As always, Brendan McCool doesn't miss those sort of things, and he's jumped on board here. I think it's a danger. Five, Rolling in the Deeps, had a couple of runs since the spell. They've both been very solid. This horse trained by Diane Ray Luttrell looks to have its foot on the till. And number one, Aventador, another nice horse, trained by Dylan Clark. Last run before a spell, it beat Triple B. We know he goes pretty well. And two starts ago, at Devonport, Aventador ran fourth behind Private Currency and was beaten only a length and a half. So his form lines are pretty good. He's first up. Expect him to run well. But I went to 7, a promising filly from 3, 5 and 1.
Yeah, Chichi's Golden Girl trialled last Friday, ran second behind Gonali in a trial. Face value I thought was a little bit disappointing, but gee, they skipped home the last 600 and 34.42, and what that might point to is that just back Gonali when it steps out and has a first up run, because it might have been a very good trial that we were looking at last Friday in Hobart.
That's always a pointer in trials, and you've just got to be a little bit wary of them. There was a horse ran a place at Mowbray on Wednesday night that got beaten 14 lengths in a trial. And it improved out of sight. So, yeah, just be wary of trial form.
Look, I'm going with the Aventador first up from a spell, a nice type, a winner of 2 from 7. It did trial recently too and ran fourth behind Gigi's Velvet. That was a fairly strong trial, though. Aventador, best horse in the race, I think, for mine to score here over 3 fairly French second up to improve. 7 Gigi's Golden Girl, sure to be thereabouts, and 8 Little Streaker. It was very disappointing coming off a good trial in Launceston, so yeah, it could improve sharply for mine back on its home track. 1, 3, 7 and 8. We go to race 5, Greg, Hobart on Tuesday, the meeting we're looking at, and this is another benchmark 62 over this 1400.
Another horse that we've talked about a couple of times in the last few weeks as one to follow is number 8, Royal Express, a real eye catcher last time out behind Go Karma over the 1200, ran on strongly, was basically last with about 500 metres to go. He does look to be screaming out for the 1,400 metres, and he gets it here. This horse trained by Paul Maher. So from a good draw, Kim Moore to ride, I think he's a good each-way bet if he can get anything like each-way odds, which we might not. And number 2, Hugo, promising horse, had 2 runs since the spell. No match for Isn't Life Strange last time out, but I thought still ran well, finished off nicely. I reckon this is probably the best Quinella of the day, 8 ahead of 2. 3, 7 Mile King, another one where David Perez has given us a little bit of lead. The Brunton Stable has a couple in this. He's chosen 7 Mile King. It was pretty good first up behind Durfoy. It's a month ago now in Launceston, not a bad run. He has been disappointing overall, but the Bruntons might improve him. And their other runner, Chiming, the top weight, couldn't win on her run last time out, which I thought was disappointing, but prior to that in Launceston was a really good run when 5th to O'Reilly's Gigi, so probably entitled to another chance. But I've got 8 on top from 2, 3 and 1.
Yeah, agreed. Looks a good Quinella. I've gone the other way though, 2 Hugo at its 3rd run in from a spell to score here to win over number 8, Royal Express. Barrier 2 might be a slight concern. Wouldn't like to see it get buried back on the inside because it does like to get back and run home. 1 Chiming, not too far away in better company, its last couple, and 7 Income Blonde first up from a spell. 2, 8, 1 and 7 for me. That is race number 5. 6th event on the card in Hobart, and a smallish field. 4 of the 7 resume here, which makes it a little bit harder, but what do you like in the benchmark 72?
Well, it's a good competitive race, and I ended up just being swayed by race fitness and going for number 4, 7 Falls, who's had a few runs of late. 2 starts ago, he took a sit at Devonport and won nicely. And then last time out in Launceston, he was left in front when the likely leader, Miss Elsa, stumbled at the start. I don't really like him in front all that much, having a look at his Victorian form. I think he is better with a little bit of a sit, but the jockey had no option last time, and he did battle on pretty well. He got beaten a length by Classic Outlaw, who's a good horse, and Classic Outlaw did have a soft run. So just on the score of race fitness, number 4, ahead of number 5, Concrete Johnny, a horse I really do like, a 3-year-old trained by Terry Evans. He hasn't raced since winning at Devonport in mid-September. He's got a good record at this track. Good record at the distance. He's hit 2 from 2 and always goes well fresh. Number 3, Hold On To Your Hat, a classy type of mare. Her last 3 runs before a spell were all in open company, so that says a fair bit for her chances in a benchmark 72. The first up record's 2 wins and 2 seconds from 6 goes. And number 1, Bag of Monkeys. He's also got a good fresh record. He might find this just a tad short, I don't know, but as I said, he's a good horse who goes well fresh, and I can't leave him out. But 4 for me from 5, 3 and 1.
I've gone with number 3 here in Hold On To Your Hat, who has a pretty good first up record. It likes to settle back, but it can hit the line really hard. The small field for mine will suit this. 6 starts first up for 2 wins, 2 seconds. So expected to be running on hard. I just think the small field will suit Hold On To Your Hat here. So I'll put number 3 on top of 2 Crystal Reef, who resumes today on Tuesday. Has, again, a good first up record. One Bag of Monkeys, 4-7 Falls, but I think that's a ripping race, just a small field. I've gone 3-2-1-4 in race 6. We round out the day at 3:15, which is about 25 minutes after the Melbourne Cup. DeFoe comes out here, so 9 to run in the 7th on the card.
If you've backed the Melbourne Cup winner by this stage of the day, it may pay to keep your money in your pocket, because this is a pretty tricky affair, I thought. Two lines to follow. The top two in the weights are both on a 6-day backup from Launceston on Wednesday night, and down in the weights, two horses that have been racing well in weaker company are number 7, Cherry Dancer, and number 8, Mundine. And I went that way. I went Cherry Dancer, even though it's a fair step up in class from a C1 race to a benchmark 72. But she does drop 3 kilograms, and with an ounce of luck, she would have won all three of her starts since coming from Victoria. So a promising type of mare. I'll go for her again. Ahead of number 8, Mundine, who ran second to Gigi Snowhill last time out, dropped 6.5 kilos here with the claim for Ismail Toker, and he's always thereabouts. And then the two horses that raced on Wednesday, 1 O'Reilly's Gigi, who ran fourth, possibly should have won, held up on the home turn at the top of the straight. The worry with him, I think, is barrier 10 in a field of 10. We'll need a little bit of luck. And 2 Gigi's Velvet, who won nicely first up, bowled over G-Force. Unfortunately for some of us punters, I thought G-Force had won, but Gigi's Velvet got the money. 6-day backup after a first up run is always a little bit of a query, but can't knock her. 7-8-1-2.
As you know, I'm a bit of a fan of Gigi's Velvet, so I'll put her on top, despite the fact that she's backing out less than a week after that very good first up win, where she sat on the speed and really attacked the line well to beat G-Force in what was a tricky photo for a few. 2 to win from O'Reilly's Gigi, number 1. I thought 5 King's View, second up. Wasn't a bad performance first up, but don't let it get under your guard at odds here. And 8 Mundine's racing really consistently and seems to reserve its best for the Hobart circuit. So 2, 1, 5, and 8. Have you got a best bet early on?
Well, it depends on the odds, but I'd like to get each way about race 5, number 8, Royal Express. As you said, the inside draw, a slight worry, but with any luck, I think it's got to be in the finish.
All right, I like race 2, number 5, Cole's Hero, as a good thing. But that is Melbourne Cup Day, radio broadcast of that meeting. First event, very early Tasmanian summertime, 11:15, and the last at 3:15. We better take a quick look back at what happened in Launceston last Wednesday night. Greg, we don't have a lot of time, but it was a treble for Scotty Brunton and David Perez. They started the night well with Ritzy Barr, who got home at good odds, and Tumbra took the third event for them, and Spun Sugar was impressive in winning race 5.
Yes, all that is very correct. I just will point out, though, to people who are doing the form on this meeting, have a look at the barrier draws of the winners. The rail was out 9 metres. It was very difficult, if not impossible, to come from back in the field, and especially if you were drawn wide. There wasn't a winner on the program started outside barrier 4, and I think that's very significant, so just bear that in mind. But, yeah, Ritzy Barr won the first well. Mensa Magic won to follow out of that. And then Tumbran also won well, leading all the way, and the runner-up was 3 wide all the way, Flying Stevie.
Siobhan Spirit took out the feature race. It was a small field, but we'd spoken about what a good race it was. It beat Private Currency and Gigi's Black Flash, who made a wonderful return to racing.
Excellent race. Siobhan Spirit good enough to sit outside Private Currency and beat him narrowly. Gigi's Black Flash was good, but my highlight horse out of the race is the one that ran fourth, Inner Warrior. I thought he was an excellent run. He settled at the rear, ran on well, got beaten 1.1 lengths, and I think he actually took a little bit of ground off the Black Flash in the run home, so that was a ripping return from Inner Warrior.
It starts to point well to the new market, which comes up next month.
Oh, it's going to be a raffle, the new market. It's shaping as a great race, and of course it may well be on the agenda of Rebel Bride, will be the one to beat.
Okay, yeah, of course. And is she racing Thursday?
I haven't seen the knobs for Thursday, but there was some suggestion she was going over to have a run in Melbourne and then come back and get ready for the Newmarket, which is on the 3rd of December. So, she's been trialling brilliantly, and she beat Siobhan Spirit quite easily at Devonport in the last trial. So, she's right back to her best.
Yeah, and we'll see. And Chi Gong, of course, goes around, who's had 2 starts, 2 wins. This preparation goes around in the second race on Cup Day at Flemington.
Yeah, good luck to John Key. She's in a 1,700-metre mare's race. Brendan McShane's got weekend winner in on Cup Day, but she's only third emergency for a 2,800. And a horse called Fidon, trained by Gay Waterhouse, is part-owned in Tasmania by Phil Evans down at Queenstown. He's a very prominent owner. He's engaged on Cup Day as well and looks a winning chance.
Okay. Just back to Launceston, a horse or two to follow?
Yeah, well, Inner Warrior for sure. Earlier in the night, I was really impressed with the run of Thing One, which rattled home from the rear of the field to finish second to Goodnight Nurse. And later on, in race 7, the horse that ran last in a field of 6, Satin Shimmy, probably should have won comfortably, so we'll throw her in as well.
It just went to the line, pocketed in a zip faster, didn't it?
Get nowhere to go for the last 100 metres or more, so definitely she's a very talented galloper. Yeah. So
O'Reilly's GG a little unlucky in that race too. You couldn't believe you had such hard luck stories in just a field of six.
It's often the way, isn't it, in small fields? But yeah, Satin Shimmy, a mare on the up, is definitely one of mine to follow.
Yeah, no, she looks a promising type, a lightly raced mare. All right, they are the horses to follow from Launceston. That is What's Happening Thoroughbred Wise. We'll take a quick break and have a look at what's going on harness-wise in Tasmania.
For all your best bets, form, tips and expert commentary, log on to racingnetwork.com.au. With best bets form available online 7 days a week, Racing Network is your one-stop spot for online racing information. That's racingnetwork.com.au.